Hello, everyone. I'm Jim Paymar, and you are listening to The Big Shift, the podcast that looks at the massive changes our world, our country, our politics, our economies, and our institutions are confronting. Today, we're discussing a subject of critical importance to our society, business intelligence, and how it impacts capital investments that drive the economy. To discuss the big shift the world economy is experiencing is Bill Hutman, the founder and managing director of Global Source LLC, an international investigative business intelligence company. Bill is a former investigative reporter whose work has appeared in such prestigious publications as the New York Times, the Times of London, and the Harvard University Press. Bill is also the author of Conversations, Thinking About Talking, a book about the importance of actually talking to each other, what a novel thought that is, and learning from people and not just accessing information from social media. Bill, welcome to The Big Shift. Glad you could find the time.
Jim, it's great to be here and great to be having the opportunity to speak with you.
You know, Bill, Global Source operates all around the world, and you have offices stretching from Washington to Cyprus to Dubai, Cape Town, South Africa, just to name a few locales. Can you give the audience some definition about your business? What types of clients does Global Source work with, and what services do you provide?
Well, in an overview, Jim, I would say what our company does is provide intelligence and information to our clients. Mm-hmm. So we're doing work for a range of clients, everything from major law firms to major financial institutions, banks, hedge funds, and so forth, to large manufacturing companies. So across many sectors in terms of businesses. We also from time to time do works for governments in different parts of the world. And what we're doing is, you know, you think of an intelligence service, what it does for a government, we're doing that for private sectors and also for governments. So what does that mean? We're helping our clients understand a potential deal that they're looking at, and they are having their lawyers and their accountants doing the due diligence. They're having us do what's called the off-the-book due diligence, things that aren't necessarily out there and easy to obtain than a lawyer would find in a public record or so forth. They're having us dig deeper. Mm-hmm. We're looking at issues of competition. A company is competing with another company and they want more information on their competitor. So we're looking at issues connected with competition.
Right.
It's extremely, you know, one thing about the business is it touches on many, many different areas and many different topics. So one day we can be doing a project in oil and gas. Mm-hmm. The next day it can be in some high tech, you know, issue that we're working on. And then and the following day, it's some obscure political issue and, you know, somewhere around the world. So it's, you know, we're touching on lots of different topics.
I mean, you're involved in litigation, investment advice, competitive intelligence, internal investigations. That's a lot. That's a lot.
It is, and it's you know, it's an interesting field. I mean, you know, just to give you a little bit of the history, because I think it is. I think it's, you know, maybe it's, for me as someone in it, it's somewhat interesting. It's relatively new, Jim. This is a business that started in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Really, primarily, it's in the U.S. It was U.S. companies, a few U.S. companies that started providing these business intelligence services. I had the honor and the privilege, and I think it was like 94, 95, I happened into a job with one of the sort of founding companies in the sector, a company at the time that was called Investigative Group International. There's a gentleman named Terry Lenzner who ran the company, and I lucked into a job there, as I said, in the 90s, and that's how I sort of got into the business. But it's developed since then. So it's fairly standard now for companies doing a business deal to be hiring firms like ours. It sounds kind of wild and different, but this is pretty standard now.
Well, listen, I mean,
in the business world,
a business has to do due diligence before it does any kind of deal, before it hires any individual, when it has any kind of relationship with a government. You've got to know what's going on behind the scenes, or you could get yourself in some deep trouble.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I do think, like you said, you have to know what you're doing. You have to know what business transaction you're getting into. And I like to think of my father's generation. You know, my dad always tells me about deals that he would close with the shake of a hand.
Right.
And I think about it, and I have the kind of, I talk more to my dad about it. Well, yeah, it was a shake of a hand, but it's a guy. You know, my father grew up in, I also grew up in Washington, D.C. And it was, he knew the person, or if he didn't know him, he knew someone who knew him. It was all very close, very personal. In our business world today, almost any deal, even small transactions, small disputes, they're going to touch larger geographic areas, areas outside of our familiarity. So, I like to think that our service isn't needed because the world has become a worse place. I just think it's become a global world. And because it's become such a global world, you need to use these services. So I try to be optimistic about it.
Yeah.
People need to do these due diligence, not because someone is, necessarily supposed to cheat them, but they just, they live in a global world. You have to check these issues out.
Yeah, Bill,
given that.
From where I sit in here in New York, it seems the entire geopolitical landscape is going through a big shift. We have a war in the middle of Europe between a superpower, Russia, trying to occupy and control Ukraine. We have saber rattling in China over Taiwan, militarization and a technological competition between the U.S. and China. And then we have shifting sands in the Middle East with Israel. And I know you have you're based in Cyprus, so you're in that big cauldron of problematic situations from time to time. What's interesting about the Middle East is, the shifting sands becoming closer, Israel becoming closer to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. And then we have the political tumult in Iran. And at the same time, they're getting closer to developing a nuclear bomb. I mean, you and your associates, you've got boots on the ground. What's your view of the global big shift, especially in the areas where you operate?
Well, look, Jim, that's given what the issues that you've just outlined, right, which span now the globe. I think it's difficult, if not impossible, to make too many generalizations in terms of in terms of developments. And I think one of the keys, I think, of our business, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, is our base in Cyprus is not coincidental. Cyprus is small little island in the Mediterranean, but it's really in the center of these regions that are going through great transition. Mm-hmm. Eastern Europe, Russia, lots of Eastern European and Russian businesses who have connections here in Cyprus. That's one of the reasons our company is based in Nicosia. Same thing with the Middle East business and its connections to Cyprus and what's happening in the island. So, but to try to answer your question, I think at one level, certainly in the near term, and when I say the near term, 6 months, what we've seen happening over the past year, 2 years, of course, and we all see it. There's incredible change and incredible transitions taking place. I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I think we maybe do need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
For businesses like ours, it creates business. I mean, it's I think, maybe it's something we should talk about because, one of the concerns that we all have is, okay, if there's conflicts happening, I wouldn't want to say for good reasons, but we always worry about people, quote unquote, taking advantage of a bad situation. I don't think our business is doing that. but I think we're actually helping companies understand these difficult situations. But certainly, I think the world, you know, if you're doing business in the world right now, it's extremely challenging with all these moving parts.
Right. I mean, the dynamics have changed so much. I mean, and you take Cyprus, for example. I mean, Cyprus is a divided country in itself. I mean, you've got the Turks up north and the Greeks down south. I think Nicosia, which is where you're based, is the only divided capital in the world. And you're operating close to Lebanon, close to Syria. You're not that far from Ukraine and Russia. Those business people, you know, gravitated to Cyprus. I mean, there's got to be a lot churning in that region right now.
There absolutely is. And I think, you know, if we want to talk about, you know, little Cyprus for a second, but in the bigger perspective, let's look at this issue of a divided island, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Cyprus now has been divided for, you know, like over 50 years. And if you had asked when the island was originally divided in the 70s, and if you had asked anybody then if this was going to last this many years, they probably would have just laughed at you, right? But now, 50 years later, the island remains divided. So now let's look at the bigger picture. Let's look at the Ukraine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think what we need to be smart enough to ask ourselves right now is, okay, you know, the Ukraine actually has already been divided in a way since Crimea was invaded by Russia, and the world kind of sat back and didn't do anything, right?
Yeah, that was 2014.
2014, exactly. So, yeah. You know, a little bit of occupation already in the Ukraine back in 2000, but, you know, everybody kind of looked the other way and forgot about it. Now we have the Russian invasion elsewhere into the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think now the question is, does this become the future of the Ukraine?
Right.
Is this the future where we have it actually, a divided Ukraine?
But beyond that, Bill, I mean, you know, some people talk about this as being a proxy war between NATO and the United States against Russia. At least that's how Russia perceives things. Ukraine was a independent country, a European country, and then one day they have, legions of tanks moving into their country and Russia claiming that Ukraine belongs to them. Now, if you're doing business in that part of the world, how do you operate in this environment?
Very carefully.
Yeah.
I think how you operate is you operate carefully in the sense that you are being very careful about who your partners are in business. You're doing very careful about your employees and where if you had a company in the Ukraine, you've had to relocate to Poland, or you've had to relocate somewhere else in Eastern Europe or in the Balkans. You know, you're acting in a way with care, watching out for security issues, for business continuity issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then this question I was raising earlier is, You're watching back to see, well, are things going to settle down in the Ukraine so I can move my business back into the country?
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching these issues all very, very, carefully so you can plan your business decisions in an intelligent way.
And the same holds true for Russia. I mean, we don't know what the future of Russia is. I mean, there is a cap on oil. They've started developing different relationships in the world, getting closer to the Chinese, shipping a lot of commodities to India. I mean, the whole landscape seems to be changing. And it seems to me, if you're a business executive, you've got to lay this all out on the table and go, now what? What do we do now? How do we operate? How do we make sure that we don't, you know, lose our shirts by having a relationship with either one of these countries? And what happens next? How do you read the future? It seems to be an impossible situation if you're a CEO of a major company operating in that region.
Well, I think I'd like to look at it from the perspective that in the longer term, to answer those questions that you're raising. Anybody that claims they have the answers to those questions is fooling themselves and trying to fool, you know, fool you, fool whoever they're telling, right? No one knows. But what you can, I believe, understand is possibilities in the near term. Look at specifics, look at possibilities, and certainly in the near term, make intelligent business decisions based on an analysis of the situation. I'd add one other thing, I think, in terms of certainly our approach is, you always need to look at the bigger picture. I think one of the problems, and certainly we face this in the private business intelligence businesses, there's really tons of information out there, lots and lots of information out there. Mm-hmm. And the trick is cutting through the noise and understanding what's important, what's the important information that's going to help me make that business decision that I need to make, and to cut through the noise so that you can make that analysis and make that decision.
Well, but Bill, if you're the CEO of a large corporation, and I know that you have to think about the near term, but you also have to think about the long term, because if you're making a major investment, let's say in a chip factory, it could take years to build that. How do you determine where you're going to build that, how you're going to go about financing it, especially when things are unstable? If you're operating in Asia, the Middle East, you know, what are companies looking to understand? What kind of intelligence are they seeking? And how do they use the intelligence? How valuable is intel in making investment decisions?
Well, let me give you an extreme example. So an extreme example would be if you are a financial institution trading in commodities, then intelligence about oil markets, about gas markets, and understanding trends, when will new pipelines be opening up, how is security factors in a particular country related to production or transportation going to have impact. That kind of information for the commodities traders within that financial institution is incredibly valuable, right? They're incredibly valuable because they're trading off of that information. So there's one example where, there's immediate term high financial stakes involved.
Uh-huh. You mentioned that you do work a little bit with governments, and so you don't work strictly with just companies. But from a corporate perspective, having intel about what moves and motivates governments seems to be, and from where I sit, you know, kind of vital for management and making investments.
Absolutely, and I think there are a number of perspectives on understanding government policy and government stability, and how that's going to affect your business, right? So if there's a potential regulatory issue that's coming up, and understanding what the process is, who are the players are making that decision, that's crucial to your business decision. In terms of government stability, right? There's going to be a change in government,
right?
Is a government going to collapse? How is that going to affect our businesses? Those issues are vital, and those are exactly the type of issues that we have clients, coming to us certainly about.
How many people do you have on your staff working on given projects? I guess it's determined by how large the project actually is. But, is it a team? Is it one person going after one investigation? How does it actually work?
It's a team. It's teamwork. So in our business, what normally happens is you have project managers. A project manager and potentially an assistant manager who is running the project. And then they have their team of researchers that's working together with them. And there are a number of tools that are being used. Those tools include everything from databases that firms like ours have access to. We do very, very thorough reviews of public records. We're doing reviews of information that's on the dark web and out there. We're also doing, Jim, a lot of, and this is certainly, you know, I know your background as a journalist and also as mine, a lot of the work is also done in interviews. You're, mm-hmm. you're developing sources and speaking to sources. So it's a combination of, you know, to put it simply, desktop research plus field research. I think that's how I would, you know, look at it.
And in your book, Conversations, you talk about the importance of that one-on-one relationship with an individual and developing a rapport with an individual. And you probably get more information that way than you would, you know, doing Google searching and searching the dark web by getting to know the individuals who are actually the players in these deals, correct?
Yeah, certainly, you know, people, you know, human intelligence, we call it in the field, is critical, right? Understanding how to develop sources, understanding how to speak to sources, you know, we believe is tremendously, tremendously important. That's why on our teams, former journalists are a big part of our team, because we know as journalists, we, you know, that's our livelihood, right? Developing sources, conducting interviews, building rapport, maintaining rapport. And also I'd like to think being extremely factual. So not being embarrassed to ask a question, not being embarrassed to ask a follow-up question. You know, a lot of people ask, and you know, I'll raise the issue. It's like, well, you know, how in the heck can you guys cover so many different issues?
Right.
And I actually think that's kind of the point, right? I'm not an expert in almost anything. I think the only thing I'm an expert in is research and intelligence work. That's our expertise. So what we're good at is
digging,
knowing where questions ask and following up and so forth. So I think that's the critical point. And yes, human intelligence is very, very vital to that. I mean, it's key.
Yeah,
I would add, though, I mean, if I may, maybe just one other thing, certainly, you say Google research, of course, you know, doing a Google search, no one needs to hire us to do that. Right. But I think where we and firms like us have an expertise that our clients do respect and I think do come to us for is there is having the expertise on how to use the internet, how to use database research. You can find a lot more than the average person just doing an incredible amount of information actually is out there. And part of the trick is understanding how to conduct that research and how to, you know, conduct it and how to analyze it.
Bill, just a couple more questions because, you know, these interviews go awfully fast. Can you discuss technology a little bit and the role it's playing in how companies and nations operate today? I mean, we've seen numerous instances of cyber warfare, cyber attacks that infiltrate companies' infrastructure, sometimes shutting them down. What do you see and hear about this increasingly dangerous environment? And tell me about the component of your business, which is called asset tracking.
Okay, I think certainly in terms of the issue of the internet and the issue of the cyber crimes, that is certainly something we see more and more of. I think we all are reading about it in the papers. There's not a company, small to large, that's being affected by these issues. I think any company now, even as individuals, we all need to be very careful about our information that we have on our computers or information that we're sharing. And certainly we see that. Where our company comes in, we are not in cybersecurity folks, right? Mm-hmm. But the that all these issues, at the end of the day, it's people who are doing the hacking. It's mm-hmm. people who are, so what we're hired and we're brought in is many times to complement the folks who are doing the cyber side of the work. And we're helping them to understand who were the people that were doing the hacking and who hired them. That's where our type of research comes in. The other thing, Jim, you asked about in terms of the asset searches, which is sort of a different field, is you know, lots of the projects that we're doing are driven by a party who's trying to understand the financial wherewithal of another individual or another corporate, you know, a person or a corporate entity. A lot of our research is understanding corporate structures, is trying to follow the money to see where people are hiding their funds. And certainly that's an integral part of what we do.
Bill, last question, because we really are out of time. Intellectual property, is certainly a concern for any business. Yeah, actually, it's their lifeblood. How does Global Source help a company maintain the utmost secrecy to ensure a competitor doesn't steal vital information?
Our firm works on the side of trying to help companies understand who is stealing their products, stealing their trademarks, and so forth. So we're out there both through desktop research as well as being in the field for helping them identify folks who are, who are counterfeiting their products or otherwise, mainly oftentimes counterfeiting their products or otherwise acting in an illicit way vis-a-vis their products.
Seems to be a very, very tough business, Bill. I, as a journalist, I mean, research is very, very critical, and it's very, very difficult sometimes to get to the core of the apple, so to speak, and find out what's going right and what's going wrong with a company, where they should be investing, where they should be staying away from, and working with governments. It's a very interesting field. And Bill, as usual, never enough time, but we'll have you back in the future on The Big Shift, because the world is shifting, as we speak. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. I very much enjoyed our conversation.
And that was Bill Huttman, the founder and managing director of Global Source LLC, an international investigative business intelligence company based in Cyprus, in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. I'm Jim Paymar, and you have been listening to The Big Shift, available wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening today, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Big Shift. It's coming soon. Stay tuned.